Yes, yes, yes. Back again, Difference Maker. Stanley Yarbrough live with you tonight. Sorry for the delay. As always, I'd like to thank God, give him all the glory, honor, and praise. For without him, I am definitely nothing. I'm just happy to be here again tonight. Just left the gym working out with my crew. So we're going to start it off like we do with guess what? No apologies. As always, any night, we don't have no apologies. We tell it like it is, keep it straight. Straight, raw, uncut. That's what we believe in. Stanley Yarbrough, Difference Makers, Craze Radio with a K, your source for entertainment, current events, and music for unsigned artists. This is what we do.
They say he's so reckless. Monkey in the casket. That ain't an exit. I eat you for breakfast. Diamonds on my necklace. Yes, that's what I'm blessed with. I'm a revolutionary. Hard in my vocabulary. I don't even remember ever caring. Tell me when I'm in the cemetery. Legendary.
I do what I want to say what I want.
And they won't shut me up, no matter how hard they try. Thank you for tuning in and listening tonight. Our guest tonight will be Mr. Troy McNair with Roanoke Warriors Basketball Club, another difference maker in his community and in our state of North Carolina. They're just north of us. He's a young man who I truly believe is making a difference in his community by helping his youth, not only helping his youth to learn the game of basketball, but the game of life. As travel basketball team coaches, as mentors, as teachers, as coaches, our job is to do one thing, to mold and craft young men and women to be the best that they can be, to achieve their goals, to strive high, to aim for the ceiling. We ain't putting no ghost, no boogeyman under the bed. We ain't putting nobody holding them back. We telling them the sky's the limit because the sky is truly the limit. Thing you set your heart towards and you're willing to put in the work to achieve, you can do it. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what your parents' situation is. We have Coach McNair calling in right now, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to pick up with Coach McNair. Coach McNair, welcome to Difference Makers. This is Stanley Yarbrough. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you too, Coach. How you doing tonight?
Doing great, doing great. I'd just like to thank you for coming on and being a guest of my show. I'd like to thank you for your patience also. And I'd just like to thank you for the things that you're doing in your community. I want to start the interview off with just finding out a little bit about you, your family, and I know you're a strong believer in God, a follower of Jesus Christ. For without him, we are nothing. And through him, we can do all things. So I'd just like for you to give the audience a quick it doesn't even have to be quick, but just tell them a little bit about you, your family, and introduce them to your program.
Okay, okay. Well, again, Coach, I just want to first say to you, I thank you for this opportunity, and it has been a pleasure to watch you on Facebook and follow your organization, organization that I aspire for mine to be like one day, and I appreciate everything you're doing for the youth in your community. But as you said, I am a family man. I am 28 years old. I am a father of two beautiful children, a little boy and a little girl. Very active in my church. I'm actually one of the youth leaders there, and I enjoy life. I'm aspiring to be a paramedic for the state of North Carolina and actually National Register. And just pursuing my goals from there. As far as my organization is concerned, we're now entering into our fourth season of Warriors Basketball. I have an eighth grade travel team, and I'm actually very excited to say that we're actually expanding this year, adding a seventh grade team and a ninth grade team, and just excited about the things that are happening with these young men in the community. And, you know, I started this team just to not just to teach basketball, but to grow young men and to teach them that, hey, you can make mistakes, you can go through different things in life, but what you choose to do with the lessons you learn in those opportunities is what makes you. And so, as you said, you know, just a strong faith base and believing in God, so trying to instill those values in them and of course, pushing education. So that pretty much sums me up. But I love what I do. I enjoy kids. I enjoy working with kids in our community, and I just want to get that message out to as many young men and young girls as I can.
Well, Coach, I'm definitely with you on all those things. And like I said, I just want to tell you congratulations, and that I'm excited about the things you're doing in your community. It's nothing like looking into that kid's eyes and knowing that you had a trust for that young man. But that's also very important that you realize that that young man has put his trust in you, that young man or young woman. So we got to stand up and be the role models, and we got to set the example that we would want to have for them to grow up and to aspire to be the great young men and women that they can be. I heard you say one wonderful thing in your introduction. Well, a couple of wonderful things, but one thing stood out to me specifically. You said that no matter if you make a mistake, you can fight and come back from there. That's
yes,
one
sir.
Thing that I don't think a lot of our youth are getting today, because you know and I know. I came up and I was told that I could be held back by someone else. That's how a lot of us are raised, that it's somebody else's fault if something is to go wrong. And growing up, not knowing God the way that I do now, I often fell into that trap of it's somebody else's fault. But then when I think about the scripture and the word, I know God says we can do all things through him, through Christ.
Yes.
And that if God be for us, no man can be against us. So that being the case, no man can hold us back. No man can close a door that God has opened. And no man can open a door that God has closed. And that's what the message that I try to get out to the youth. One of our biggest things inside of our organization is family. We are family. We're not a basketball club. We are a basketball club and a basketball team, but at the end of the day, we are family. So I would just like to know, what and it's not a catchphrase, but what is your organization's motto? What is your creed? What every time you break the huddle at the end of practice, what is the motto that you guys go by?
It's actually interesting that you bring that up, because the main thing that we use and the main thing that we follow, I use it in games, I use it in practice. You know, when I first started my organization, our thing was the pride of a warrior, the heart of a champion. But I later changed that after seeing the movie Red Tails. And I don't know if you remember, there was a scene in that movie where they begin to chant and say how nothing is difficult, but everything is a challenge through adversity, you know, to the stars, from, you know, just elaborating on how no matter what you go through, you have to fight. And that's the motto that I take in with the boys, is that we have to fight. And it's not just, like you said, not just on the basketball court, not just when we're in games, but in life, we have to fight. A small testimony of myself, a little bit over a year ago, I went through some things personally, some things that were self-inflicted. And after going through those things, I went to my boys and I called them each individually. And I said, hey, guys, you know, I went through this and it was wrong. I was wrong, you know, but I want to move on forward. And one of the things that made me realize the impact that I had with them was one of my kids at that time. He was 11 years old. He got his mother's phone and he called me and he said, Coach, he said, I heard what happened. He said, and I am disappointed, as I know you are disappointed in yourself. He said, however, Coach, you have always taught us that we have to fight. And you have always taught us that no matter what we go through, you have to overcome. He said, so the way I see it, Coach, in 2 months we start Warriors basketball. I'll see you in that gym be ready to fight. And that thing stuck with me. I have to be honest, I cried like a baby that night because it made me realize the impact that I had had on such a young man's life. And since then, to see what God has done for me, you know, the advancements that he's making with my organization, the advancements that he's making in my personal life, with my career, you know, God has really just taken that opportunity that I came back and I said, God, okay, I'm done, and now I'm ready to really do this thing the right way. And because I came back in it wholeheartedly, he has now come and blessed me beyond my wildest dreams. So it's amazing, that message. We fight. That is what we do. You know, we fight. We keep pushing. We keep pressing. And we just come through the obstacles of life.
That's it. And, you know, the thing about that is, like you said, that young man reiterated to you what you taught him. They are our sponges. They are our sponges. They absorb whatever we say. And that's why I tell people all the time, they like, well, you say things in a harsh way or you say things in this way. But every person doesn't speak the same. But at the same time, I keep it 100 with them, as they say. I tell them
exactly
the truth. And the truth isn't always going to come out sounding good. It isn't always going to make you feel good. But it's still the truth. And the thing that I've learned with these guys is that they rather you tell them the truth than to sugarcoat it and try to make it easy on them. They like to be pushed and they like to be worked. But that young man that called you and told you he would meet you in the gym, that's a special young man. And that's special young man that has the utmost respect for his coach. That's a young man that when it comes down to it, he'll run through a wall for you. That's what he'll do because he knows you'll do the same for him. And that's why he told you, coach, it's time for Warrior Basketball. It's time to fight. I just want to ask you, I want to get into your program a little bit more. So could you tell the audience where exactly your program is located? If you're playing in any leagues this year or you having any tryouts or you having any tournaments, go ahead and put it out there. I have other coaches listening. I would like to know myself because last year we didn't ever get together as we had planned, but hopefully this year
exactly
we can do it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, as I said, our team is the Roanoke Rapids Warriors. We are based out of Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. I have my kids actually come from Halifax County, Northampton County. That's pretty much it as far as the coverage area. We have an eighth grade basketball team, which that team is set. I have 13 young men that play on that team, and they have been with me for the past few years, and we just keep growing with them. But we are going to be having tryouts that I will be posting and getting out to the news media very soon for our seventh and our ninth grade team. And then also there has been interest in developing a fifth and sixth grade team. So we're kind of making sure we got everything in order before we take on adding on all of those extra teams. But we are adding on, like I said, a seventh and a ninth grade team, and the tryout information will be coming out very soon because we'll start those tryouts at the end of January. Our season tips off at the end of February just because in our area, I know it's different in different areas, but in our area, the kids can't play travel ball at the same time that they play middle school sports, middle school ball. So you know, we start at the end of February when their season is concluded. We're going to be doing a lot of traveling this year, reaching out to Virginia a lot, definitely coming to the Raleigh area. I got to come and visit the Knights and see how things are going up there.
All right.
And then the one tournament I know we're going to be hosting is our third annual Father's Day Classic. It is a tournament that we will host here in the Roanoke Rapids area. For 7th, 8th, and 9th grade teams, possibly more. We're looking at really expanding our tournament venues as well. So, but right now we know we're going to be hosting 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And like I said, that is Father's Day weekend.
Well, I tell you what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to get some Knights up there in Roanoke Rapids to come up there and visit our Warrior buddies. Come up there.
Hey, I like it, man. I like it.
You know, the main thing in what we do is networking. In the organization basketball, travel basketball, the thing that we have to do, we have to reach out to one another. We have to talk to one another, see how things are going, but we have to network. Networking is a wonderful thing. Through the years, I've had the privilege of meeting people that I never thought I would meet through the game of basketball. I've had the opportunity to reach and touch lives of young men and women. And I wasn't always on the straight and narrow. I've screwed up major. I'll be the first one to admit it. I've gave my testimony many of times. I was on the wrong track. I thank God for bringing me back on track and giving me the opportunity to reach my hand out to you, to other coaches, and as well as to coach the kids and mentor the kids that is in our program or kids that aren't even in our program. I'm the type of person that I'm willing to help any kid from any organization. Anything I can do with any kid, anything I can do to help any kid, I'm there. I'm not there to poach any kids from any team because I don't believe in it. There are people out here, and I'm pretty sure in your 4 years you have seen it. But we're about developing kids and helping kids, no matter what kid they are, to reach their goals in life. What are the main things that you emphasize to your players as far as, okay, as a night, when we enter the gym, we have two rules. The number one rule is no crying on the court. The number two rule is no walking on the court. So what I want you to do is give me a little feedback about your program and things you try to instill into the players as far as toughness and as far as in hustle. What do you try to instill in them as young men?
Okay, yes. With those two rules – those two rules right there are two rules that we follow as well. No crying, no walking. One other thing that I do, especially in our practices, is we do not call fouls under any circumstance in practice. Now, if we're scrimmaging another team or something, then I will call fouls that my guys commit so that they can learn to play basketball, moving their feet and without fouling. But I do not call fouls that are committed against them because I want them to learn that toughness and learning how to finish through contact, learning how to take the hit but still finish the basket. And just everything we do is hustle. Everything we do is hustle. Everything we do is up-tempo. I don't allow them to it's a team concept. It's a family concept. So if one kid messes up, we all mess up, you know. If we're doing 6 inches, I'll do a thing, and my boys, they know, you know, I'll do a thing where we'll count it off and we'll go from 30 seconds on down. But when I get to that last two seconds, instead of me going 2-1, they'll hear me yell 2. And when I yell 2, I tell them, hey, we're going into finishing time. And I make them hold it literally for another 20 to 25 seconds. And they scream and they yell and they fight, and I tell them, do whatever you have to do to get it out, but you do not fail. You do not quit.
Right.
You do not stop pushing. Because if your feet drop, we jump all the way back at 30 and come right back down. You know, those are the type of concepts that I implement in my practice. One thing that I started doing last year is a drill at the end of practice, or a conditioning drill at the end of practice, that we call the five phases of terror. And it's a build-on thing where the first phase is just a simple sprint down and back, but then the second phase is that sprint down and back, and then they have to shuffle down and back. And then the third phase is still sprint down and back, shuffle down and back, and then they got to do monkey sweeps down and back. The fourth phase is all of that plus a suicide, and then the fifth phase is all of that plus a sprint back and forth, with 25 push-ups at the end of it, you know. And so it's a thing that it takes them about 5 to 10 minutes to complete it. But it is a strong toughness thing, because by the time you get through that third phase and you've had to do everything on top of it, they're sucking wind, they're sucking air. But again, the message is you do not quit, because the moment I see somebody walk, we get back to the baseline and we start those phases all over again. And then I'll end it by putting somebody on the free throw line, and I always give them a scenario. Hey, we're in the championship game of our next tournament. We're down by one. You're at the free throw line with a chance to win the game. What do you do with it? You know, if you tie the game up and you make one free throw and miss the other one, then guess what? We run four more suicides. You miss both of them, we run eight suicides. You make both of them, we go home as champions. What do you
That's
choose
right.
to do with it? You know, and it's in those moments that I don't always – every day is different. Every time I do it, it's different. It's a different person. You know, I never let them get comfortable. I never let them always look to the quote-unquote star of the team. I make all of them step up at some point and take that responsibility of putting the team on their shoulder.
That's it. Because you're only as strong as your weakest link. And
exactly.
That's the thing. And being a team, you want everybody ready for that situation. You want everybody. You don't want the other team to be able to say, well, we're going to pick this guy and foul him because he's not clutch. No, we want everybody.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I definitely love those five phases of terror. I'm thinking about implementing that myself.
Oh, yeah. Now, your boys might not like me too much when they see me, but, hey, it's going to make them better in the end.
And when I see you, I'm going to be like, hey, boys, you remember the five phases of terror? That came from Coach Troy.
I know if I get mobbed by a group of kids with Nikes written across their jerseys, I know what happened. I know what happened.
Exactly. And my thing is, I want to commend you on something else. I really do. At 28 years of age, for you to be doing what you're doing, man, that's a wonderful thing. I tell people all the time, my brother, he's 26 years old. He'll be 27 the day after Christmas, December the 26th. For the past 3 to 4 years, that young man has dedicated himself to young men, maybe 8 years younger than he is right now. And for a young man your age, because when I was 28 years old, 26 years old, 27 years old, I'll just be honest with you, thing on my mind was going to a gym every day, working kids out. That was the furthest thing from my mind. So for you guys, for him, and I'm speaking specifically for you, to you right now, for you to set aside your time at 28 years old when it's up plenty of other things you could be doing, for you to set aside your time and dedicate it to these young men and young women, man, that is totally awesome to me. I am in awe of you. I am in awe of what you are willing to do, what you are willing to give up to help others. And see, people don't look at it that way, because I know I don't get paid, and I know you don't get paid for what you do. Our payment is to see these kids grow into vibrant, successful young men and women, to achieve their greatest dreams, to achieve their greatest goals. That is our payment. That is the thing. It's like I tell people all the time. When we first started our organization, we coached the youngest team in the organization. We coached the fourth grade team. Me and my partner, Coach Dave, we coached the fourth grade team. His son couldn't catch a ball. Now he's a ninth grader playing up on the 10th grade, getting looks from colleges, doing a great job. But at first he couldn't catch a ball. So to see those players grow from not being able to dribble, shoot, pass, or catch, and to the players they are now, because most of them stay with our organization and are still with our organization now. So we've had the honor and privilege of coaching them for 4 to 5 years now. But to see those young men grow, and now we have added girls the past 3 years, to see them grow is just like watching your child go from crawling to walking. So I know, you being the man you are a player developer. A lot of teams won't even take players that they have to develop. They won't take players that they have to work with, train, teach the game of basketball. I mean, with all of them, you have to teach the game of basketball. But they won't take the kid that's not as skilled as this kid over here, because they're looking for the best talent all the time. And I tell people all the time, our organization is not about that. We want the best talent, but we are willing to work with anyone who's willing to come and put in the work to get better. We're willing to work to get you better, and we're not going to abandon you. Every I believe every coach that develops a player, he's a special coach. And we all have our special cases of players we've developed. So any player on your team that you have seen in the four years that you've been doing it, name one player that you've seen develop and you've seen now he's come along so far that it really has shocked you. Because I know I can name several. So I just want to know, as a coach, do you have one of those players?
Oh, man, do I have one? I could give you about six. But I'll give you I could give you about six of them. But I'll give you one of my most recent kids. He actually last year was his first year coming to me. His name is Michael Porch. And he I went to because I go to all of my boys' middle school games and stuff. I try to make sure I see them in their school action just to keep tabs on them and see how they're doing. And it was during that time that I went to the game and two of my players, you know, came up to me and said, "Coach, you know, he's interested in playing." And I was watching them play, and I'm like, man, this kid is not coordinated. He's not anything, you know, anything resembling a basketball player except for the fact he's 12 years old, he's 6'2", and can jump out the gym. and so I brought him on the team, and he couldn't make layups standing under the basket. He couldn't – I mean, it was nothing he could do. But I threw him in the fire. We were in a tournament one time, and my starting center was playing horrible. And I looked at him, and I said, "Mike, all I want you to do, I said, I want you to go in. I want you to block shots if you can and rebound." And put him in for like the last 6 or 7 minutes of that game. And in that time frame, Mike picked up about 4 or 5 blocks and about 9 or 10 rebounds. And from that point on, that's all he did for the rest of the season. And he actually ended up becoming one of my starters before the end of our tournament season came. And yesterday, I went to his middle school game yesterday because he was playing against the team that my son plays for. And I went to the game, and I saw Mike. He blocked the shot on one end, and the boy runs like a gazelle. I mean, his legs are just extremely long. He gets out, he runs, and like I said, he can jump out the gym. But he got up off the floor, blocked the boy's shot, ran, recovered the ball, took off down the sideline and laid it up on the other end. And I looked at his dad sitting behind me. I said, "Man, last year he'd have turned that ball over 3 times before he got to the basket." And his dad said, he said, "You know, coach," he said, "but the one-on-one workouts," because in the off season, that's what I did. I did some one-on-one workouts. I did some individual training. Gave them some things to do at home. And his dad told me, he said, "Troy," he said, "I don't know how many of your kids go home and work on the things that you tell them," he said, "but that boy does." And it made my chest stick out last night watching his game to see him improve and be able to do something. And, I mean, I know to a lot of coaches that doesn't mean a lot. Well, yeah, he should be able to dribble down the court. But to take a kid who last year was the 13th man in my rotation, who before the end of the season became a starter and now can handle the ball enough to get the ball from point A to point B and then score at the end of it, it amazes me. But like you said, the thing is, he wanted to get better. And because wanted to get better, he became better. He soaked up everything I gave him, any information I gave him, any training, any drills. He grabbed a hold of it and made it work for him. And, that has to be one of my proudest moments. Like I said, I could give you plenty of them, but that has to be one of the kids that I'm most proud of.
And, Coach, you know what? That's a wonderful thing. It's just like I said, my assistant coach's son couldn't catch a ball, and now if you seen him on the basketball court, you think he was dribbling when he was one.
Dedication, man. Dedication and commitment to their craft.
Hey, but I tell you what, it's like you said, he wanted to get better because he sat and played behind kids for a year or two. I mean, honestly, he sat there. He watched. But every day at practice, he was there working harder than any kid in that gym. He still to this day works hard. Sometimes I have to remind him now, hey, T, you ain't got that good where you don't need to be in here working. You know, just I just stay on him, but he's really impressed me. And they'll tell anybody will tell you that Coach Stan, he's a hard person to impress because he'll give you credit when it's due, but if you're slacking, he's going to tell you you're slacking. Mm-hmm. I just believe in calling it like it is. And, Coach, I really am honored. I'm honored to have you on as a guest of my show. And we're going to keep in contact. And through this season, we're going to make sure we definitely get up and get together. Nothing but blessings to you and the Warriors. I'm happy. We have never met face-to-face, but I'm happy to call you not just coach, but friend.
Yes, sir.
I want you to go ahead and I want you to tell the audience about your website. If you have a website, give them your Twitter. Any way they can contact you, check on your organization, keep up with your kids, keep up with your team, track you, see how you're doing. And I'm going to definitely, if that is when you're available and if it's okay with you, I definitely want to have you come back on maybe mid-season, let everybody know how the kids are doing, how the program is doing. Just keep everybody up to date. Trying to get soon we'll be going back into a 2-hour show. Probably in the end of January, February, we'll start back the 2-hour show. Things just got a little hectic in the gym. Season starting early. I got younger kids in the gym, so we had to cut the show back an hour. But I want to have what I call a coach's corner.
Okay.
I want to set aside maybe 20 to 30 minutes of the show just to have a coach's corner, maybe where we can have other coaches call in, ask questions. We can just keep each other informed of what's going on in the season, any changes, and just a place where we can get together and talk and discuss basketball. So I want to set aside maybe 20 or 30 minutes of the show coming up probably in February where we can do that. But right now, we're going to end the interview, but before we do that, I just want to again tell you thank you, and I appreciate the great job that you're doing with those young men. To give a shout-out to your Warrior fam, and I want you to give your Twitter, your Facebook, and whatever way that we can keep track of the Roanoke Warriors, the Roanoke Rapid Warriors and their season.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, again, Coach, thank you for having me on tonight. It's been a blast. I've enjoyed it. Anytime I can talk basketball, of course, is always a plus. But again, we are the Roanoke Rapids Warriors out of Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. You can reach me on Facebook, Troy McNair. We do have a Roanoke Rapids Warriors fan page out there as well. You also can check on our website, www.rrwarriors252.com. That's www.rrwarriors252.com. And again, looking forward to anybody that's out there listening. Use that contact information. We would love to have you at our Father's Day Classic next year. Looking forward to expanding, mm-hmm. Looking forward to bigger and better things, looking forward to making more connections. So, again, Coach Yarbrough, I appreciate the opportunity tonight, and definitely I will be back again anytime you ask me to.
Well, that sounds good, Coach, and I'm honored to have you on. And I think I want to bring you back, and maybe once or twice out of the month, I want to have you sit in as a guest host for our Coach's Corner. If that would be okay, we'll work it out and get back together, decide what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. But as I said, I'm honored to know you. I'm honored to call you friend. And I support the Roanoke Warriors in everything they do because I support Coach Troy McNair.
I appreciate it.
Definitely. And, Coach, have a good night. Tell those two wonderful kids of yours I said hello, and the Royal Knight family said hello, and number blessings to you.
All right. I sure will, Coach. Same to you guys. We'll see you guys this season.
All right, Coach.
All right. Bye-bye.
Big shout out to Coach Troy McNair and the Roanoke Warriors. We're gonna take a brief break, and I'll be right back with more Difference Makers on Craze Radio, your home for entertainment news, politics, and music for unsigned artists. That's Craze Radio with a K, baby, not with a C. Can't even believe I got my own radio show. That's just real. In my wildest dreams, maybe not in my wildest dreams, but hey, only God. Because I definitely would never, if you'd have told me this 3 months ago, a year ago, I wouldn't have believed you. But through all things, through Christ, we can do all things. And that's what I know. People may hear me talk and say, well, there's no way he's a follower of Christ. Wrong. Wrong. Just because I'm blunt, straightforward, and I tell it how it is, doesn't mean I'm not a follower of Christ. It actually means I'm doing exactly what Christ tells me to do. I don't care. I don't care about friends. I don't need friends. All I need is family. My brothers and sisters in Christ, my family. That's all I need. That's all. I don't worry about friends. I don't worry about feelings. All I worry about is the truth. I see my brother Anthony's calling on the phone, but I guess he didn't speak. He didn't hit the button and say he want to talk to the guest, to the host. So we're going to let him call right back. So let's see if I can get him on. Hello. Hello, young man. Hello, young man. Nah, he didn't hit the right button, so I can't get him on. Call back, Ant. Call back. While we're waiting on Anthony to call back, we're going to go through some of the current events of the day. But I do want to do this. Say congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Perry, Miss Tanya Perry and Mr. Anthony Perry, on the arrival of their beautiful son, Dorsey. Or as she called him, peanut butter and jelly. Okay? So we got powder and we got peanut butter and jelly. Congratulations, fam. I love you. And also, Tanya's dad came home today. That's a blessing. I know how this woman feels about her dad. And I know after 21 years, she's missed her dad. And I'm glad to say her dad is home. Her dad was a G. Her dad still is a G. While everybody else is being a rat, not taking consequences for their action, that man is a G. For sure. We all go through things in life, but he took it like a man. He knew the consequences. He did what he did. He took it like a man. I'm proud of that man. Proud of his daughter for standing up and turning my brother, changing my brother's life. Good women do that. good women will change their life. My wife changed mine. That's why God tell you, a man that has a founder wife has found us a good thing. Tell you that all the time. And my wife just walked into the studio, so I might should have not said that at that time because she heard it. Now she's going to think she really, really did something. All right, we're going to go over the current events of the day. I only got about 14 minutes left in the show. What I like to do is scroll down my Facebook page, and usually my good friends Tim and Marcus have something interesting for me to talk about. They won't call the show. Sit a thing on my Facebook. So we're going to start right here. Mr. Tim Wim shares something from John Wiesel. 85% of white people that are killed in America each year are murdered by other white people. Okay. Now, what Mr. Tim is trying to say here is black-on-black crime isn't a problem because blacks may kill blacks, but whites kill 85% of whites that are killed. Okay? All right. Now, on face value, that may sound like, hey, white people got just a bigger problem than black people. Okay? Let me tell you this. People make up about 60% of the American population. Okay? White-on-white crime as far as murder. Around 4,970 whites are killed by whites each year. Okay? That's a lot. Too many. One death is too many. Okay? Now just hold on to that fact. Remember, 57 to 60% of the American population is white. All right. Now let's go. And they kill about 4,900 of each other a year. Now let's move over to this side, on the black side. On the black side, we have 13 to 15% of the population are black. And I want to break it down just so everybody stays with me. Whites, 57 to 60% of the population kill around 4,900 of each other every year. Blacks, 13 to 15% of the population, but they kill around 5,300 of each other a year. So think about it. 13 to 15%, okay, of the population, yet they kill 5,350 black-on-black murders every year. Compared to 60% of the population and 4,900 white-on-white murders a year. So you have 13 to 15% of the population killing 500, we'll say 400, keep it at the lowest number possible, 400 more of that section of the population than the white population that has 60% of the population. So if you had 100 white people, okay, and they killed, let's say, 40, if they killed almost half, and we slid that same ratio over to the black population, their whole black population would be wiped out. It wouldn't be a black population. It's called black genocide. 13 to 15% of the population killing more than 60% of the population, you ain't going to make it long. But they will post stuff like this on my Facebook. 85% of white people that are killed in America each year are murdered by other white people. Yeah, well, 90% of the black people killed in America are killed by other black people. That's just a fact. And whereas only 13 to 15% of the population, it's 5,350 a year killed by other blacks. And where the whites are 60% of the population, is only 4,900 of them killed by other whites each year. But they don't want to use real numbers when it comes to things like that. They want to use percentages. But see, because when you use percentages, then you can make the percentages look any way you want. So that's what the Black Archaeologist Group came up with. They don't come up with the fact that blacks are wiping out blacks because that's not a problem. They come up with the fact that
whites kill 85% of each. 85% of white murders is caused by white people, and 90% of black murders are caused by black people. So, hey, what's the difference? The difference is they are 60% of the population, and we're only 13 to 15. If you're breaking it down by race and numbers. So we'll move on from that. Anybody wants to call in to the show? The call-in number is 646-200-0883. Call in, press 1. You can talk to the host, which is me, Stanley Yarborough, live on Craze Radio, Difference Makers. People don't like the things that I say, but it's the truth. I won't change it. I'm going to always keep it real, keep it honest. That's what I'm going to do. So we're going to keep scrolling down the Facebook page, see what other current events we have going on. We have Obama to Joint Chief of Staff. Cut A-10 Warthogs and Abrams tanks. We need funds for transgender surgery. Now, please tell me, what is that? Why are we turning the men in our military to women? And why do we actually, I'll be honest with you, why do we even want women in the military? Why would we send women out to fight and protect men? And why would we put men in the military who want to be women? Why? Please tell me why. Why? Why would you put a man in the military to fight and defend a nation that wants to put on a damn skirt? Please tell me why you would do that. Why? Why would you put a woman on the front line? We're not talking about transgender now. We're going to move away from that because it's freaking disgusting. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I don't care what nobody tells you. It's freaking disgusting for a man to cut his penis off to turn into a woman. It's freaking disgusting for a woman to have a penis sewn onto her. It's freaking disgusting. Okay? Don't care who's listening, who care, who's mad. It's freaking disgusting. Okay? If you were born with a penis, keep your penis. You were born a man. Okay? Now, before we get off transgender, the funniest story I've heard today. There is it in maybe in California, not really sure. It's somewhere in the United States. I think it may be California. There is a man who wants to become a woman. Stay with me here, because this it gets complicated. It gets complicated. There's a man who wants to become a woman, but hasn't had the surgery yet, okay? That means he still has his penis, okay? Think about this. A man that wants to become a woman but still has his penis, okay? He is married to a woman who wants to become a man but hasn't had the surgery. So she still has a vagina, okay? All right, so you got a man who wants to be a woman, who hasn't had the surgery, still has his penis, married to a woman that wants to be a man, still has her vagina. Okay? They want to have a baby. they actually have sex. So the man that wants to be a woman that still has his penis has sex with the woman who wants to be a man that still has her vagina. And they want to make a baby. How screwed up is that baby going to be? So basically what you have is the wife with a penis married to the husband with a vagina carrying a baby for 9 months. That's going to be fun, ain't it? Or is that going to be treachery? Or is that going to have one confused baby, child, person? What is wrong with people today? What is wrong with people today? I'm sitting here looking at this disgusting picture on my page of this man supposed to be a military soldier, a fighter, in a damn dress. Please tell me what is going on with our world today. I'm a hater and a bigot because I just said that. But guess what? I have no apologies. at all. I have none whatsoever. Not one. Truth is truth. God made Adam and Eve. He didn't make Adam and Steve. He didn't make Eve and Lily. He made Adam and Eve. God said marriage is between one man and one woman, which technically, they are one man and one woman. Technically. We have to stand up, people, and fight. I don't mean with violence. I mean with the only weapon that we need. The only weapon that we'll ever need. And that's the whole true word of God. We have to stand firm now, or it's going to be too late. We're letting a few demons control our world. We're letting a few demons corrupt our world, corrupt our children. We're letting a few demons destroy our nation. And God said, if we will get down on our knees and pray, he will heal our nation. Time we get on our knees and pray. Because, yes, come, Lord, come quickly. But I don't know. I don't know. He didn't say rush them back. Okay? I want you guys to think about that. He didn't say rush them back. Right now we got him coming back, and he coming back with nitrous fast as he can, because we are totally, 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 totally screwed up. We had each other's throats. We're doing abominable acts, people calling good evil and evil good, calling God's word hate, calling those who follow God's word and live God's word bigots, haters, and even worse. We are headed down the wrong path right now as a nation. God says, narrow is the gate, straight is the way. Wide is the gate, and destruction is the death. You don't want to hit the curse. You don't want the curse on your life, the curse of death on your life. You don't want that on your life when you can't have life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only truth way in life. I don't care what a Muslim say, a Buddhist say, a Hinduist say. If they continue in that path, hell bound is where they will be. I got so much to talk to and didn't get to get to it tonight. But I love you all. I really do. I love you all. I love you all enough to tell you the truth. And that's what it is. Have a good night.
Monkey in the